dropping knowledge bombs all over the state of Alabama.
Pew, 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 pew.
Truett News Radio, Truett News Radio. Listen to us on Truett News Radio.
Welcome to Truett News Radio. It's your weekly dose of gumption and positivity, for whatever that means. Now, here are your hosts, Tony Truett and Brock Murphy, probably the two coolest guys in the world, at least in their minds. Let it rip, fellas.
Oh, it's ripping, it's ripping. But I'm in the studio alone. Tony, where are you?
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed, but I'm not there today.
I noticed for two reasons, because I looked across the table and you're not there, and I'm on the other side of the table because you're not there.
Yeah, man, it feels good being in the driver's seat there, doesn't it?
Well, you know, one thing that I can see, because I never do see, he's always behind me, is John Bird rocking in the other studio there, working the board.
Is he still looking good with the haircut?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, he's looking suave and debonair, and curiously, he's playing an upright piano. That's weird. He can play the piano.
Well, he's worked the magic and hooked me in.
Yeah, you sound good.
Well, fantastic, man. I got a fancy new headset, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, well, I like the new headset. I like, you know what? Listen, we've already talked for practically an entire minute. Nobody knows who we are. Who are you?
I'm Tony Truett, Truett Insurance and Bonding. Appreciate everybody listening to Truett News Radio this morning. If we can help you with your insurance or bonding needs, we would love to do it.
Oh, that's nice. I'm Brock Murphy with Brock G. Murphy Law Firm. Love to help you out if you're a small business, can form you, can restructure you if you get involved in a dispute, can handle that. If you're mediating, arbitrating, litigating, can do all that. Plus, if you're involved in a dispute, I could be your mediator or your arbitrator, but give us a shout. This is Truett News Radio. We've got a pretty good lineup of callers today, Tone.
Man, I'm really fired up about this. We got Rick Clark from down at the Alabama Port Authority, and I heard him speak a few weeks back, and he did a great job talking to, and you know, they have nothing but good news coming out of there, and he was he's very enthusiastic about it. I think he's going to be great. And then Anthony Clemens with Bell Peppers LLC. I've been following him or stalking him on Facebook for I don't know, a year or so, but this guy's doing some awesome stuff. He's developed his own kind of healthy brand of pizzas, and has them going into the schools around town, got them in some grocery stores. He's really doing good things, so he's going to be fun to hear from.
And unless we think it, this is not the old rectangle pizza that we used to get in our lunchrooms back in the day. If you see Anthony, you'll realize he probably doesn't do many things with respect to food that isn't healthy, so I'm anxious to hear how he's pulled that off.
Yeah, whenever he's not making pizzas, man, he looks like he's in the gym.
Might have a gym in the pizza making area. We don't know. We don't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to look like him, man, because he is put together.
I've got some news. I don't know if you realize this, but you work with and, in fact, are owner of Truett Insurance and Bonding, and you got some good news this week.
Man, we were really excited about this. The Hartford we work with, they're one of our company partners, and we were named the Alabama Small Commercial Agent of the Year by them. So we were very excited about that. We grew more premium-wise than everybody else, so we were fired up. And if we can help you, the Hartford's a good partner for your business. We'd love to do it.
I like it. Hey, listen, I went and saw my folks, Bill and Jan Murphy, down in Navarre, Florida this past weekend. And while we were there, we went over to Pensacola because one of the stories that we had talked about not that long ago is that one of the America's Cup boats or yachts or, well, I don't even know what you call it. Is it a boat? Anyway, it's supposed to be harbored or anchored or whatever there. And sure enough, this week got some interesting news. The City Council of Pensacola approved a 10-year lease to the racing team. The racing team is called American Magic. It's going to require them to host at least one open house a year so people can come in and see the facilities and also this incredible America's Cup sailboat. And by the way, if they win an America's Cup while they're in or based out of Pensacola, they're required to do one preliminary America's Cup regatta in Pensacola. If that occurs, it'll be housed in a $15 million maritime center of excellence at the port of Pensacola. So pretty soon we'll be seeing some pretty fabulous sailboats coming out of and racing through Pensacola Bay.
Man, I saw something. They're really trying to position themselves as like the sailing capital, I guess, of the Gulf or this side of the country. So that's pretty cool. We need to keep an eye on that. I'm over here at I had to run over here and am staying at the Barnsley Resort.
Yeah.
We had, you know, David Friedrich. Yeah, he was on a I don't know, a couple of months ago now or something. But this is my first trip over here, and kind of the opposite of the sailing stuff. This is, they have the Beretta shooting grounds. Ooh, and nice. It's a golf resort and all this, really nice. And I had dinner here last night, and I was telling you, I really, really enjoyed the pimento cheese beignets they had for us.
Right.
Those were good. But man, from what I've seen so far, we're going to explore more today. But it's there's a lot to like over here, particularly if you wanted to put like a golf trip together. This would be a great place to come.
Yeah, Tom Fazio, right? He's got this golf course out there. Swanky Digs, from what I understand, right?
Yeah, they got all the stuff, like the they got air rifle shooting and archery and horseback riding, and there's you can hike all over the place out here, and it's just kind of right outside Rome, Georgia, so not very far from, you know, most of our listening area.
Well, I tell you what, as I understand it, you're about to pop wheelies on a horse sometime today, and I just want to make you beware of any horse with a little benign name like Buttercup or whatnot, right?
Yeah. I don't want to have a talk with Buttercup or Nelly, whatever it is. But I haven't been on a horse in I don't know how long. I'm a little worried about the weight limit that this horse can bear. So we'll see how that turns out.
They sense nervousness. So just go up to the thing and say, I'm not nervous. Yeah. You and I are going to be best buds. That tends to work out.
Page.
I read that in a book that I just wrote, actually in crayon, on a piece of paper in my car, but it's got to be right.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Is it like a dog? Do you scratch him under the neck?
Yeah, you scratch its nose. Yeah, for sure you can scratch under its neck. Scratch about between its ears. It digs that. Yeah, just talk soothing to it, but don't let it know you're scared.
No, not at all.
Buttercup does not respond well to anxiety.
Yeah, I mean, Buttercup could be terrifying.
Listen, we've got pages of notes that have nothing to do with Buttercup and you popping wheelies on horses. But one of the things that's been down here for a few days or a few weeks, and we haven't mentioned it, is what's going in the former Rodney Scott's, which is basically in the shadow of Truett World Headquarters.
And I'm excited about this. Joyland is coming in. Nick Pahakis's group has, reached some agreement with their group, and they're going to be trying to grow these Joylands across a large part of the country, it sounds like. But I actually have been to the one there in Nashville, the original one, or maybe the only one right now. I don't know. But, man, really cool place. The chef there is super well thought of. And
good name, by the way, Sean Brock.
Yeah, well, there you go, man. But he's like, I think, James Beard Award winning level chef. But this is kind of his, I don't know if you call it like a throwback grill, but, it's burgers and it's cool looking, good merchandise, all that kind of stuff. So I think it's going to do really, really well down there where Ronnie Scott's was. What is that, on like 3rd Avenue South, maybe?
You know, when you get around there, I get confused. But, yeah, it's one of the early South Avenues for sure. You know, not only have you been to the one in Nashville, so has Phil. Somebody Feed Phil actually had a spot there.
That may be where I saw it, actually, was heard about it. But we were going up, my niece Maggie lives up there, so we grabbed her and went and checked it out. And I liked it then, and then when I saw it that it's coming here, man, I'm pumped. I think it's got a big future in Alabama.
For folks wondering, one of their big items is called the Crush Burger, which looks like it's a burger but pressed down. I think it's a potato bun. But I thought this was interesting too. Two things: one, it's not just regular fries. You got to make a selection. They got crinkle fries, curly fries, waffle fries, and then you might want a milkshake, but you might also want to spike that rascal. They've got what they call boozy shakes that are spiked with bourbon or rum. How about that?
Yeah, man, that, and if I'm remembering right, they had a really good sauce, like you can dip your fries in and all. Yeah, so, again, I think it's going to be a hit.
Oh, yeah, looking
forward
to it.
Hey, man, let me tell you about this. I was fired up. I don't know if you saw this. Brandon, I think it's Fussell, down at Montevallo, playing some basketball there, right there. Man, he lost his mind last weekend and went off for 50 against West Georgia. He just beat the Wolves down almost by himself. But he's a freshman from Gunnersville, and that 50 got him Gulf South Conference Player of the Week. So
how about that, man?
Dude's
how about that Falcon? Yeah, the Montevallo Falcons rocking with Fussell at the trigger.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. And he's a freshman. He's got a while left to do that.
Yeah, that's a fact. Good grief. Yeah, that is interesting news. Hey, we talked a lot about Orlando resorts on account of the fact that there's three just mega things that are popping up generally around the Walt Disney World area. I came across an interesting little article about a mid-scale French brand. It's called B&B Hotels, and they opened their first U.S. property around Universal Studios, right? 218 keys. I like how they're saying that now, right? Because you've got suites and rooms and whatever. 218 keys. They have 770 hotels throughout the globe, but they added 100. I mean, that includes 170 that were added last year alone. So they're expanding for sure. Their goal is to go from 770 to 3,000. There's going to be one coming up in Miami and Jacksonville, Florida. But I think they've got an interesting issue right now, Tony. I tried to find information about it. So I put B&B hotels into Google and to Bing, and it continually popped up all these bed and breakfast reservation concepts. You know, it would link you into bed and breakfast Expedia and bed and breakfast in Orlando. And so one of the things that's going to be a problem right now is literally I decided to shift and decide if I wanted to book a hotel or book a room in the B&B hotel in Orlando right now, how would I get to it? And honestly, I'm going to be honest, I couldn't find it. So I'm going to throw an IT geeky little term at you that I think I've just discovered, and suddenly I'm growing in my IT relevance, and that is search engine optimization. SEO, Tony, I'm throwing it at you.
Look at that. Yeah. Look at that. Yep. Proud of you.
Probably if you have an IT team at your corporation, you want to put me on there now because I know what SEO means.
Yeah, it's that's one thing I've always said about you is you know what you're doing in that area.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
But, man, here's another good one. Magic City Art Connection, it's coming up April 26th to 28th. It's Lost Furnace now. It was, you know, the longtime home was down at Lynn Park in downtown Birmingham. But this is one, to me, is one of the best events in town. So everybody get that on your calendar and go support that. And, Brock, I saw this early this morning. Dollar General just opened their 20,000th store. Oh, and they think they still have runway for another 12,000.
Good heavens.
Not amazing.
I'm going to tell you kind of along that line that this hit me because I saw that B&B. I actually, you know, we've mentioned Chicken Salad Chick. It's an Auburn grad, right, that started that brand. They're already at 250 stores, recently announced 18 new agreements that will add 53 new stores in the next few years in Texas and Oklahoma, Illinois, Ohio, Virginia, Maryland. But that got me into Eat This, Not That, you know, the website. They had the fastest growing restaurant brands, and Chicken Salad Chick didn't even hit the top few. But, and I won't go into all of them, but this is interesting. The number one, I don't even know if they were ranked according to what they thought was the biggest, but Papa John's 5,900 so far, right? But they plan to add as many as 1,400 by the end of next year, right? From 5,900 to 7,300. Freddy's, which we have over in Hoover, they have about 500, so not nearly as many, but they're heading to 800, like a 60% growth very, very quickly. Starbucks, this one's going to floor me or floor you, and this is what I was thinking about when you just mentioned what you mentioned. How many do you think are in the world right now?
Starbucks? Yeah. 10,000.
How about 38,000? And they want to get to 55,000 by the end of 2030. And their goal is to get to 20,000 in the U.S. alone. Tropical Smoothie Cafe was another just because they're opening hundreds, plural, this year. Same with Wendy's. Wendy's is opening hundreds, plural, this year. And mostly are this new global next-gen design that they've come up with. It's kind of a smaller footprint. And then number six was interesting because we've mentioned this, Slim Chickens. They have 245 right now, but 70 to come. And honestly, another brand I think we need to throw in here is your Small Sliders, right?
I love Small Sliders.
Yeah, I mean, they've just signed an agreement to add 22 in Phoenix alone.
Yeah, they're up, I saw, I think I have it in here somewhere, but they're up to 200 deals that are either open or in the development pipeline right now. I mean, basically in almost no time, and they've got a huge future in front of them. They're going to be opening up in Alabama, I don't know, within the year, I guess, maybe not even take that long. And I think their first sites, if I remember right, are down maybe Prattville, Montgomery-ish, somewhere like that. But you're going to see these things. They're in those really distinct orange shipping containers. Yeah, it's built out of. Got a great concept, and it's going to do amazing. But it's just crazy seeing how fast all these brands are growing.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
I keep going back to the staffing part of it. You know, you see so many restaurants struggling to keep the doors open now just because they can't find people, but yet you see all these brands just opening, you know, new location. I just think that's going to be an interesting path in front of them to see how that works out.
There seems to be a tension between the two concepts, right? Explosive growth and the lack of labor. Just like you, a local empire received an award, an accolade from a particular brand, so too did Truckworks here in town.
Yeah, Man, way to go to Will Bruiser and the whole team at Truck Works. They were named the 2023 North American Kenworth Dealer of the Year. That's a big deal, and they've done an amazing job out there growing that brand.
Yeah,
it's kind of all over the place, and they're sponsoring, you know, sporting events and all this. Man, I think they are doing just an amazing job, and really want to give credit where it's due to Will and the team.
We were talking yesterday as you were heading towards your, you know, glamorous getaway to Barnsley, yes, for heaven's sake.
I like the finer things.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah, the swanky digs that you're in right now. But we were talking about the fact that the Naval Academy, right, it's got a new dean, but he's not called a dean.
Yeah, this is really cool. I love the Naval Academy and what everybody, like the kids, sacrifice, you know, kind of go in there. They know what they're walking into. It's not the normal college experience. But they've named Captain Walter Allman the third is the 90th Commandant of Midshipmen. It sounded similar to like a dean of students in a civilian college, but he's a 97 Academy graduate there. But man, his resume, this is just one little thing off a long resume that I picked out. But he's a career Naval Special Warfare Officer. Allman's operational assignments include SEAL Teams 1 and 3, SEAL Delivery Vehicle Team 1, and Naval Special Warfare Development Group, where he has completed several combat deployments, contingency operations in support of Iraqi Freedom, and Operation Enduring Freedom. That's like one little segment of this thing. And I was like, man, he's more accomplished than me. He's excelled at a higher rate.
I feel as though I need to make one more achievement or 10 in the next couple of days to just get on that same map. That's incredible what he's accomplished.
Well, Ben, it is. And the Naval Academy was founded in 1845, and U.S. News and World Report just recognized him for 2023 as the number 5 undergraduate engineering school, the number 3 liberal arts college, and the number 1 public college in 2023. When we were up there just in Annapolis, and you know, the academy's right there, and those kids are everywhere. And I mean, at least the ones we ran into, everybody was just super impressive in their appearance and how they addressed you. And it's one of those things I would encourage anybody, if you ever got a chance to go to that school, you should.
Well, that's the thing, you know, there, the Air Force Academy, West Point, most of those students are engineering students or, you know, it's equivalent in computer science, things like that. I mean, they're at those places doing all the military regimens and in the athlete's circumstance, also satisfying what they need to do to hone their craft there. But they're doing it with a curriculum that is generally very difficult, engineering, high-level computer science, just incredible what they're able to pull off. I remember when I was announcing at Troy, we played Navy at home one time. It was a beautiful day. It happened to be the birthday of the United States Navy, and I remember just welcoming everybody, so proud that they were there, and I got to talking to some of the assistants, the interns who were up in the press level, doing what they needed to do to support the game from the Navy side. And we were eating near the buffet, and I was explaining to them, you know, we're so happy to have y'all here and hope you have a great time. And a couple of them got a little bashful and said, you know, we're so thankful that people feel that way. But honestly, when we go on the road, almost always we're that school's military appreciation opponent. And so we always get sort of revered and appreciated and respected. And don't get me wrong, we're proud to represent the Navy, and it's an honor to receive that kind of reception. He said, and he's kind of stopped for a second, he said, but honestly, some of us just want to be the bad guy every now and then.
Yeah, you
want to
be hated.
Yeah, we want people to rock the bus and say bad things. I said, well, you know, I kind of give people the business on the microphone, and I was actually planning on backing off a little bit in respect for Naval Academy, but I'll go all in today in honor of what you just said. So, but really never thought about that before, that those guys go on the road, and rarely ever are they despised, except when I guess they play the other service academies.
Yeah. And then they get after it. But hey, Brock, did you see this? I thought this was really cool. John Wooden, you know, the legendary UCLA basketball coach, has a stamp. The U.S. Post Office just unveiled a stamp for him. And he was really well known for sending postcards basically to everybody, handwritten notes over his lifetime. But Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Jamal Wilkes, and several other players were there. They talked about just how this man shaped their lives, but he led UCLA to 10 national championships. And he also has a post office named after him. They love him, but he's only the second basketball coach to be honored with a U.S. stamp. The only other one is James Naismith, who created the game.
he kind of earned it. Yeah.
That's pretty good company.
No, that really is. And, it's, you know, what a neat tribute that those folks showed up and honored him like that. But yeah, just incredible to think of those 10 championships. Hey, we've got Rick on the phone. John, you know, I'm never here. Do I need to press this button or are you going to do it here? Oh, he's got it. Rick, are you on the line with us?
I am. Good morning.
Oh, hey, Rick.
Hey, good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm on the driver's seat, and I'm never here, Rick, so I didn't know if I'm supposed to press a button, and John did it for me. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, this is Rick Clark. He's the deputy director and chief operations officer down with the Alabama Port Authority. And, Rick, I saw you speak, I don't know, a few months ago down in Daphne, and you did just a fantastic job, so I want you to replicate that.
Say exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Look, Tony, and you know I'll be long-winded if you don't put some reins on me. And especially, I know you get down there for the for that breakfast that we have regularly here in Daphne, and meet with some of the community and legislature here. That just to give updates on the port, and I'm honored to take a few minutes with you today and talk a little bit about what's going on at the port. And it's exciting. There's just a lot to talk about, right?
Well, it seems like it's nothing but good news coming out of there.
Well, and I tell you, Rick, for folks who don't, you know, we've got folks in Mobile in the listening area who are probably very familiar with it, but I'll be quite honest. I've heard of Port Authority with respect to New York City, you know, as I sit here in Birmingham, Alabama, and the folks up in the Huntsville listening area might not know just from the start, what is the Port Authority, you know, and as a matter of information, what is it that it does?
Well, look, thank you. And I think that's a great segue into this. And for certainly in Mobile, and you'd be surprised at how few people really, even in their own communities, port communities, are familiar with what the port does. But the bottom line for the port is introducing global markets to our industries here.
Oh, wow.
and giving them access to global markets. So whether it's automobile or coal or poultry or lumber, airplanes, we're really connecting them to global markets, all the industry here in Alabama, and not just in Alabama, but throughout the United States. So we're really a gateway to the U.S. And just a quick number of stats, if you will, we're the 11th largest port in the country by tonnage shipped. And people wouldn't necessarily realize the number two steel terminal, the number three in coal, and some folks might think coal, but not thermal coal that's burned for energy, but metallurgical coal that's used to make steel. So just a lot happening here, and a really big port in a fairly small community when you think about population size. So super excited to be part of what Forbes just said was the second fastest growing port in the country over the last 10 years. And that's not just seaports, but that's seaports, airports, border crossings. That includes your big airports like Atlanta, Hartsfield, Chicago, yeah. O'Hare. So some real great accolades, and a lot because of this great climate for growth that we've made here in Alabama with both the communities, business leaders, legislature. Our leaders here are really aligned to create a great business climate and growth for us. And we're only growing because Alabama's industries are growing. So super fortunate there.
Folks, you're listening.
Go ahead, Tony. Go ahead, Brock.
Folks, you're listening to Truett News Radio, and we are on the air right now with Rick Clark, the Deputy Director and COO of the Alabama Port Authority. I happen to get on your website there, Rick, and I two things. One, I noticed that y'all are posting a really important number of about $98 billion in economic impact. But also, I was very interested to see that while I mentioned the folks in Huntsville may not necessarily know what the Port Authority is, the fact is you have an impact in their footprint as there's a big intermodal sort of event that's going on around Decatur, if I'm not mistaken, with respect to railroad.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll talk a little bit about the intermodal industry. And we are served, Mobile is served by five Class 1 railroads. So only maybe one other port in the U.S. that could claim to be so well served, whether that was CSX, the NS, the BN, the KC, or the Canadian National. We really have a great representation, all served here in Alabama. Interesting, as much rail as we have here in the state, what we don't have is rail carrying containers. And that's the big reason for that is that our container terminal is still pretty much in its infancy when you think about container terminals. But a few years ago, we realized that without that, we're going to continue to see cargoes that are coming via container move through other ports. And for us to get those containers moving through our own port, we're going to need to give them some rail access. So our first step there was to start an adventure into expanding our port to an inland facility in Montgomery. We're well underway to building a facility that will basically extend the port to Montgomery. And what you just heard recently, the next step into Decatur or to serve in that Huntsville, North Alabama market, get trucks off the road, but provide some resiliency in this supply chain. One of the things we heard from our customers that were coming through the port during the pandemic was they couldn't get trucks.
Oh, wow.
You know, and so not only does this give them some other opportunity to move their freight by rail on containers, but this also gets a lot of trucks off the road.
Sure.
So there's a number of great benefits to creating this. We're talking about Montgomery. We're talking about a position in Birmingham, and we're looking in that Decatur. But yes, you just saw that announcement that we came out with partnering there with CSX in that area to help serve. There's a big industries there. You know, we were just up last year speaking with folks in that area, whether it was in the Redstone Arsenal and NASA or Mazda Toyota.
Sure.
Just a lot, obviously a lot happening in that area, and we need to make sure that they have the economies of scale that a rail will bring them through our port.
Yeah. Hey, Rick, let me ask you, it's one of the best things or the thing that stuck out the most to me that you said when I heard you was you're talking about the things that are shipped and all that, but, you know, Alabama is a big chicken state, and that you guys send out I think you said it was the thing that's the most shipped or of the chicken were the chicken feet.
Look, it is. You know, I like to say whether it's rocket parts or chicken feet, we're moving them through your port here. And I like to say your port because it's Alabama's port. And, but yeah, so I'm up in the Gunnersville, Abbeville area here a few months ago, and we're visiting some of the poultry farms. And Alabama is such one of the largest poultry producers here in the U.S. So we're looking at what they're doing, and we're exporting a lot of poultry out of the port here. But one of their biggest exports are chicken feet or paws. They call them chicken paws. So the gold of the chicken, in this case, one of the greatest values of that industry are the paws that are shipped to Asia. And so they pack them in, you know, 20 tons plus wow. of containers of these chicken paws, and they put them on our container ships that are taken back to Asia where they're so popular. So really interesting, right?
No, that is. That is
fascinating. It really does. I mean, it, what you guys do just touch everybody in the state. But Brock and I talk about this a pretty good bit. These giant, you know, cargo ships that come in, we're just absolutely amazed by these things. But I think y'all have a better way of saying this. But you have a big dredging project going on. And I thought this was really cool. As the river comes up there into Mobile, once you reach the tunnels, you can't make that any deeper, but as you head, I guess, south from the tunnels, you're dredging that out to get, you already have big ships coming in there, but just kind of a little bit of difference in the depth there makes a massive difference on the type of ship you can have in.
Absolutely. And, we're in over the next 8 to 10 years, we're looking to invest better than $1 billion in the port and its infrastructure and its growth. And one of the biggest projects in that investment is a deepening and widening of the ship channel that brings these vessels in. And this project will make Alabama's port the deepest waterway port and container port in the Gulf Coast. And only a few ports on the east or west coast actually can claim to have as much water as that as we'll have. And what does that mean? You know, we're not, it's interesting to hear, okay, so it's going to be deeper, it's going to be wider, but what does that mean specifically? And today, our container terminal can handle about what we call a 7 or 8,000 TEU vessel, and a TEU is a 20-foot equivalent unit, and that's the standard that they measure throughput in container terminals, and it's just basically a 20-foot box. They're 20-foot long, 8-foot wide, 9-foot high, but that's how they measure the standard. So those ships are pretty big, but in the industry, the workhorses are really almost twice that size. They're really 14 and 15,000 TEUs, and it's all about the economies of scale that those larger vessels bring. So today, we don't have enough water to bring those, get those vessels in and working. We only have 45 foot of water in our container terminal. To service these larger vessels, we need that 5 more feet. And that really is what 5 more feet does, almost doubles the capacity of those vessels that come in here. And obviously, if you've got a vessel that can carry double the capacity, we're able to put the port and our industries here in a much more competitive position to move those cargoes through because of the pricings that it brings. So you can see almost double the size of those vessels. And yeah, also, when we think about our bulk terminal there, where we're loading Alabama's metallurgical export, the coal that's mined here in central Alabama, that's the best metallurgical coal in the world for making steel. Today, we might bring in a ship that loads 130,000 tons. And when we get to 130,000 tons, that ship is 45 foot deep in the water. I can't load it any deeper, but that ship's has a lot more capacity than that. So we bring in another smaller ship next to that vessel and load it with another 30,000 tons. Then both of those ships go offshore to deep water, and the smaller ship has to transfer its cargo into that bigger ship before it takes it to its final destination, sure, whether it's in the Japan or China or somewhere in Asia or into Europe. But in order to get that vessel full before it goes, we've got to load two different vessels and transfer that cargo. This new deepening widening project will eliminate the need for that and bring a lot better efficiencies and competitive market pricing to their customers.
Rick, I could talk about this for a long, long time, but we're running into where we've got to get going. I'd love to have you back on because this really is fascinating to me, and just thinking about those volumes and again, what those do to your needs on the intermodal and the rail systems too. I mean,
it just builds what it does for Alabama.
Yeah,
I mean, how great it is to make a stand out. But Rick, thanks so much for joining us this morning. And what's the website and all the people want to learn more about the port?
Look, our website is alports.com, ALPORTS.com. It's a great resource for the port. It'll give you a lot of great information about what's happening here, about the investments that are going on, about our growth that's occurring. Would love to get back with you guys and talk more about what's happening here. Keep an eye on what's happening, and I'd love to share more as there's opportunity.
Well,
we'll do it.
Yeah,
well, enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. It was an honor, and you guys have a great weekend as well.
All right. That's Rick Clark, the Deputy Director and COO of the Alabama Port Authority. Just amazing to think of the economic impact, what exactly it is that they do and how it affects this entire state. And Tony, by the way, now with that addition of 5 feet, it gives a whole new meaning to that old song. It was happening for about 3 minutes of that interview in my head, deep and wide, deep and wide.
Absolutely. The thing that cracked me up when I heard him talk was, you know, he's like, we had to get deeper and we had to do all this. And I thought he was going to say, you know, we got to add like 200 feet to get these boats in. And he was like, yeah, we just need 5 feet. They get these massive ships in here. So I think it's great. It really does touch everybody in the state, whether you know it or not. But Brock, let me tell you something, man. We got mutant wolves running loose.
Yes, we do.
I've had this on the list for a couple of weeks and hadn't gotten to
it. But not here in the state of Alabama.
No, thankfully. If anybody remembers the entire Chernobyl incident over, I guess that is actually in Ukraine now, but was part of the USSR at the time. Yeah, you know, they had the nuclear plant melt down and explode or whatever happened back then. That was all the way back in 86. But they got all the people out, 1,000 square miles they roped off and took the people out. So no humans have been there, but, you know, all the animals were still there. But these wolves have been running around, and they've basically changed. I don't know what you call that, but is that DNA? But they're getting bombed with 6 times what the natural safety limit is for humans, which is basically like going through a radiation treatment, you know, if you have cancer. But they've lived in that for this long. But what they're learning is these things have adapted to it, and they're studying them now to help treat future cancer patients because of what they do. And not all the animals have reacted this way. Like birds have had a terrible time with it that live in that area. But they said dogs also are looking like they're having the same effect, but they haven't studied them that much. But so you've got mutant wolves and Chernobyl dogs are roaming these hills or whatever over there. But isn't that pretty interesting?
Yeah, I think it's super interesting. You know, they're taking apart the genome to figure out what has the cancer resistance. And I think that this story answers the forever debate of dogs versus cats. Clearly it's dogs, at least in Chernobyl. You know?
Yeah, that's amazing. But hey, I also wanted to give a shout out to Bevel State head basketball coach Billy Connor. He just won the Division II Coach of the Year in the the Alabama Community College Conference system. So they won and are playing for the title down in Mobile right now.
Yeah, well, that's a fact. Hey, your friends, owners of the Birmingham Bulls, are excited right now, right? They're going to the SPHL playoffs. So congratulations.
Yeah, Kurt Dinga and Jeff Tenner, Mike Stockard, the rest of the ownership group there. But yeah, they spend a lot of time trying to give everybody a good experience with the Bulls and have done it. So they're going to the playoffs. So everybody support them for sure.
And that brings up, too, a little item you've got here about the Samford Bulldog basketball team. They brought in a really big crowd last week, the second largest in history, 4,523. But that begged the question, what was the largest capacity crowd that they've had? And that answers a trivia question that, I'll be quite honest, I didn't know.
Yeah, they had over 5,000 years back when Steph Curry came to town with Davidson. Yeah. So that's still the number one crowd. But what Bucky McMillan is doing at Samford is just incredible. But they're having big crowds. They're having tons of success. They're undefeated at home. And again, I've said it before, whatever future he wants, he has in right now. So enjoy him while he's around. Hopefully we keep him in town for years to come. But he's going to have some decisions to make just off the success he's had. And he's another show alum.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And by the way, if you'd like to be in on the excitement, you can watch them play Citadel this afternoon right there at Samford University. And also, again, it may be that everybody in the entire world knew this, but if you put a gun to my head and said, what college does Steph Curry go to? I couldn't have told you Davidson, so now I know the answer.
Yeah, he's a great example, too, of somebody, I guess, it was a little overlooked, you know, coming out of high school. But look at what he's done. Amazing. But, Brock, this is also has been weighing on me. On Days of Our Lives, Allison Tom Horton's family home was burned down. Was it arson? Yes, it was.
Oh, was it?
But was it Constantine that did it? We'll have to wait to find out. But, you know, they're one of the main players there in the Days of Our Lives universe. They actually have the town square in Salem named after them. So that tells you how they're thought of.
Oh, the excitement's killing me. We just need to go ahead and take a break and see if we can figure out the answer to these questions. We've got Anthony Clemens on the line right now with Bell Peppers LLC. I'm really interested in this. And Anthony, thanks for joining us. I'm really excited to see how you've made pizza healthy, but thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, man. Welcome.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Man, I was saying earlier when we kicked off, I've been stalking you on Facebook for a year or so, and really have been impressed by, the first thing I saw was you have these pizzas and you're getting them into all these retailers, you know, the Piggly Wigglies and everything. And you have certain lines of those or certain, I don't know, pizza combinations that you've made there, but was just blown away, man, to find out that you have gotten these into the school districts, and not just one, you're getting them into a bunch of the school districts. Kind of tell us how you got started with that, and man, just the path that you're on, because it sounds like you've got a giant future in front of you.
It's exciting.
Well, it didn't always start out like that. You know, Greek retail and school systems weren't really the plan. The way I get the ideas is I find a problem in that particular area. You know, for the people who want better pizza, better quality pizza, when you go into a typical retailer, you really don't have many options.
Sure.
And that's where I get the ideas. You know, the traditional rectangle pizza that we've been eating for years and years that's in the school system.
Yeah, right.
You know, I found out it had 100 ingredients.
Oh, gosh.
So, you know, those are some of the things that sparked me to make certain moves. And that's pretty much the short story on how I come up with the idea when I find a problem, you know?
Well, Tony was saying, and we've yet to meet, and I certainly haven't laid eyes on you, but he indicates that it looks like you spend more than a few minutes in the gym every day.
Yeah, whenever you're not making pizzas, it looks like you're working out, man.
Yeah, so I can see how you would have tried to solve the problem of, as you said, the old rectangle pizza, which, by the way, you know, lives in lore in most of our minds. I mean, that happened to be one of my favorite days, but I'm sure it was far from healthy for me. But what are the avenues that you take to address that issue and make it a little more simplistic, I guess, getting away from 100 ingredients, but also somewhat healthy?
Well, I first found out that school pizza had, it's actually 98. It was 98 ingredients for the particular one I was looking at.
Wow.
And there were a lot of ingredients that I just felt that didn't need to be there.
Sure.
You know, for example, sodium aluminum phosphate. You know, many would have to Google that particular ingredient to find out exactly what that is. Exactly. And when you hear things like aluminum and you say to yourself, well, what does that, you know, why does that belong in pizza?
Yeah.
I thought it was just, you know, flour, you know, tomato, pepper. I mean, you know, when you think about pizza, you think about the basics and where does things like that come into play?
For sure.
You know, you have a substitute mozzarella. What is that? You know, there
Wait,
are some school pizzas. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I was just going to ask you, man. I'm out of town. Sorry, we're kind of talking over each other right now. But man, how did you though? Did you just go to the schools and say I can do this better? Because you're now you're in Bessemer, you're in Homewood, and I think it was the Altamont School you're also in. And did you just go to the schools and say, I can do this better? And then once you did, how do you scale that of saying, I got to now make X amount of pizzas for all this?
Well, so the way that it happened, it is really hard to explain. I didn't particularly go to any school. You get in schools by the state. You know, there's a guy on the state level who, you know, pretty much handles all of the school ordering and things like that.
Oh, wow.
I'm not on the ordering guide. That's supposed to happen in August when I'm on the ordering guide for Region 2. That's your Jefferson, Blount, St. Clair. And right now I'm just dealing with the schools directly, but when I'm on the ordering guide, I will not. My products will go into a warehouse, which is Wood Fruiture. And then they will order from Wood Fruiture, and they will get my products that way.
Okay.
You know, that's pretty much how it will work once the school year starts back.
I guess, dovetailing on Tony's question, it's interesting, right? You go out there, and of course, as a business person, you're looking at how can I make more and sell more. But was it a little bit of a matter of like the dog chasing the car, and then all of a sudden it finds that there's a car in its mouth, and you're thinking, okay, now I've got to make this volume of pizzas for these particular schools and districts?
Well, it wasn't easy. You know, I wasn't aware of how many pieces the school would purchase.
Right.
You know, I'm thinking, you know, it's something that I could do just, you know, fairly quick, fairly easy, but it was not.
Right.
You know, I had to have emergency help, you know, like I had to really, really call for help. I mean, it wasn't easy by far. I just underestimated it, you know?
Sure. Yeah. No.
I just think it's great though, man. And, one to get, that, like I said, a healthier product into the school system, I think is fantastic. But just that you're able to have to have accomplished this. And I bet you, I mean, there's kind of no limit to where you could take this, man. It's amazing. But tell kind of the different styles of pizzas like you're putting in. I know you're in, like I said, the Piggly Wiggly's and some of the other stores. But one, where can people find you? And then what do they need to be on the lookout for? What different types of pizza do you have?
So what I try to make is a more cleaner label pizza. You know, that's what intrigued the school systems about my product, was the fact that it was cleaner in ingredients, you know, fewer ingredients and just better quality. So if you have a gluten intolerance and or you have celiac disease and you want a good gluten-free pizza, you know, I'm known for some of the best gluten-free pizzas that taste just like they contain wheat. If you don't want red meat on your pizza, I have pizzas that's, you know, filled with meat, but none of it's red meat, but it would taste like it. You know, I'm known for those things. I'm known for cleaner ingredients. You know, you don't have all the oils on top of your pizzas after it's done. You know, you don't have to pat it with a napkin. You know, like, I'm known for just a cleaner product. So, as of right now, I'm in all of the Jefferson County Piggly Wigglies, one in Dora, one in Clay, and my school products, which I just started that this year. You know, we've only entered the third month of this year. So I just got into the schools this year. There's many more to come. And that's pretty much everything that I'm dealing with, that I'm going on with right now. The restaurant, per se, I had to shut down for a while because of the schools, you know, because of the high volume. You know, that's one thing I want to say as well. Yeah.
Folks, you only have so much time. I mean, it's again, what you're doing is incredible.
Folks, you're listening to Truett News Radio, and we are on the air with Anthony Clemons with Bell Peppers LLC. And that's actually a question I was going to ask you, Anthony, is when you get back into the store, when things kind of slow down, and again, it, you know, you've processed the fact that the dog has chased the car and caught it, and you're satisfying those volume requirements for the schools. Is there a plan to get back to the store, which, as I understand it, is in River Square Plaza over in Hueytown, correct?
That's correct. But yeah. We're actually there. That's what we process inside of the restaurant, which is closed right now. We just, you know, mainly manufacture our retail products and our school products at the store right now. But being under the USDA, you can't do two things at once. Like, you can't run a restaurant and you can't make retail products at the same time, due to cross-contamination. So that's why we can't do, you know, multiple things at once. You know, it's either this or that.
That's really interesting. So,
well, you know, a lot of it, man, it's on top of having to make the product and do all that, you know, just being a business owner, it's things like that. I'm sure you probably learned along the way. It's not like you know all this stuff. And, you know, that takes a lot of time, too. So it's, again, kind of what you're doing and how fast it's working and all that. I mean, man, I absolutely applaud it. And, you know, I hope you make like a zillion dollars doing it, because I think it's fantastic.
It's interesting how the Lord works, right? I mean, you know, you get into this thing for one purpose, and he's shut down the restaurant in order to satisfy this other need. Is there a plan to go into sort of a secondary location to handle the retail needs and go back to the store, or perhaps open up another store so you can satisfy that in a different location?
Yeah, I have a few plans. I haven't really spoke on them yet, but I have a few plans. As of right now, we're just retailing and manufacturing out of that space.
Sure.
But there are some other things that I'm getting ready to work on in the near future. But I just want to say this, as far as the whole school thing, people look at it and think that it's easy, that, you know, that, oh, you just pop up and done this. No, it was not easy. You have to understand, I'm a small guy, you know, and these are million and billion dollar companies that I'm competing with.
Yeah.
I have none of the resources that these businesses have.
Right, right.
I don't have the team that they have.
Right.
I don't have the ability to just pop things up, you know, whenever I need something. I mean, I'm literally as small as it gets trying to do a job that, you know, billion-dollar companies do. I mean, it's not easy. People think that, oh, it's just, no, it's really not easy.
I wouldn't have thought that.
Man, I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's not something I would have thought. I realize that that's a lot to bite off. But, again, it's a blessing to have to do it, and I'm interested to see where he leads you through it.
Well, man, it is. It's hustle and grit and determination. I mean, all this stuff. I just think it's an amazing story. And I know you got probably more on your plate than you can handle. But I mean, is there any thought of maybe branching out into a different type of food product? Or are you just going to keep like hammering pizzas, or, you know, what do you think on that?
Well, so there's a product that I'm currently working on, which I think I have a finished product. There's a product that's very popular in schools from Tyson Foods called a Crispito.
Okay.
And I've made my own version of that, which I call it a chicken and chili crisp, which is just chicken and chili wrapped in a tortilla.
Oh, wow.
And that product is very popular in schools. It's like more popular than pizza. Pizza's number two.
Really?
Number one. Yes, sir. And I recreated it, and I think I nailed it. That's my new product. I haven't even announced it yet, you know, on any of my platforms, anything like that. Because
yeah.
I'm just getting.
We got breaking news.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, thank you.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. And it's very good. It's very good. I'm pleased with it.
Anthony, we've got to run just to get to the end of the show, but we're so thankful that you've come on with us, and we're pulling for you. You've got two fans here in this studio.
Man, I want to meet you before long, because I'm blown away with what you're doing.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I appreciate it. Likewise, we can make it happen.
All right. Well, yeah. We're going to make sure everybody pays attention to Bell Peppers LLC. And
best of luck. Yeah, look for them at the Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah, absolutely. Check them out at the Piggly Wiggly for sure. Anthony, thanks for joining us.
No problem.
All right.
Yeah, man. Have a good weekend. See ya.
That's Anthony Clemens, the owner of Bell Peppers LLC. Check out their product, their retail product at Piggly Wiggly. And if you're in the school systems in Bessemer and Homewood and the Altamont School, yeah, you're going to get to try it out. Well, I wish I could try it. I'm really excited about this.
I think, again, I can't say enough. I mean, that is a hardworking dude right there. Just following him a little bit on Facebook to see the effort he's putting in. And think about taking that on, man. Like the stuff he just said about, you know, you got to go to the state. You got to learn all of this stuff.
Oh, there's no question.
Yeah. I mean, just that takes a lot of time. Then to make all this stuff and then scale it up to the way he has, you know, like I said, I think he's got a really big future in front of him.
Well, I do too. Tony, I got to tell you, there's a headline that caught my attention this week. The Albert Einstein College of Medicine in the Bronx was the recipient of a $1 billion donation from former professor, 93-year-old Dr. Ruth Goetzman. She made the donation so that students would be able to attend free of a tuition obligation. How about that? Her fortune was inherited from her late husband, who amassed it through heavy investment in Berkshire Hathaway. That would have been a good thing to get involved in back in the day. But $1 billion donation. Can't imagine that.
Oh, man. Hey, the Alabama School of Fine Arts, they need a social studies teacher on a long-term sub basis, and they also are looking for an assistant residential life coordinator. So everybody, if you have some of those skills and looking for something to do, that'd be a good place to work. They do cool stuff down there.
Hey, going back to the idea of investments that can lead to big donations, how about the investment that GBT Realty has made in a parcel in Nashville?
This is staggering to me. GBT, they're a big real estate company out of Nashville, but a few years ago there was an auto group that had an 8-acre site there on Broadway, in Nashville. So they bought this site for, I don't have it in front of me, but like
$110 million. Yeah.
$110 million for the site.
13.75
which was a record
acre.
Per acre. Yeah. So they got that, but they just recently announced plans for what they're going to do. And what we were talking about, like in Birmingham, if we built a, a 10-story building, everybody would be amazed. But this one site, to tell you what's going on in Nashville, they just announced plans. They're going to have 7 towers on this thing.
Yeah.
In 2 phases, and they haven't announced the heights of it, but I don't think it's going to be like they're building 3-story buildings
for sure.
On it. But 7 towers in one project is going on in Nashville. That's just incredible.
Oh, that's incredible. Hey, Tony, I hear some music in the background. Who are you?
Safety Truitt, Truitt Insurance and Bonding. If we can help with your business coverage or bond needs or builder's risk, any of that stuff, bring it on.
Oh, I'm Brock Murphy with Brock G. Murphy Law Firm, LLC. Love to help you out if you're a small business, particularly if you're involved in construction one way or the other. Give us a shout, 205-313-6360. Tony, did you know?
Did you know there's a 14-foot squirrel statue in front of the Birdall Pecan Candy Store in Cedar Creek, Texas, that they claim is the tallest in the world?
I did not know that. Mine's Welcome Back Cotter edition. The Sweat Hogs were based on actual students that Gabe Kaplan shared remedial classes with in his Brooklyn High School. In fact, Arnold Horshack was based on a kid literally named Arnold Horshack.
Hey, did you know Torrey pines are the rarest pine tree in North America? Only an average of 1 in 100,000 of their seeds becomes an adult tree.
Good grief, I played golf there back in the day. Hey, how about this? Kate Jackson and Farrah Fawcett both auditioned for the part of Mr. Cotter's wife. The actual actress, which was Marcia Strassman, turns out she hated the show, working with Gabe Kaplan, and prayed every day that the show would get canceled.
Did you know that for the first 40 years in business, Crayola employees had to hand roll the labels?
No, I did not know this. Look, did you know that this show, Welcome Back Cotter, was originally simply called Cotter, but the theme song was so great they added Welcome Back. Alabama will say...